This episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Well, hello and welcome to The Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. Thanks for sharing some of your time with me today. Thanks for being on board. And as I often like to start, I want to start with a question to get you thinking. So if you are that small business owner, you already know the critical importance that the relationship you have with your customers is. However, we're now in a COVID economy. And now more than ever, because so much of how we've done business has changed, I think now is a great time for you to examine your customer service model. Is it still delivering the level of service that you were able to deliver pre-COVID? Because we have so many additional constraints and restraints and anxieties and emotions and stressors that we're dealing with. I really want to have that conversation today. And it's also not just the critical relationship with your customers, of course, but also I want to talk about the relationship you're having with your people, your employees, because whether you are in a retail environment, you are customer facing your employees or not, they too are dealing with a lot of personal and professional and emotional stresses. So we're also going to talk about how you can even better that relationship as well between you and your employees. Now, to do that, I've been fortunate to have on one of my personal favorites on the topic of customer service, because customer service not just is a business topic that I love, it's also a personal pet peeve. And I'm having on today, again, as I said, one of my favorites. She's Randy Bussey. She's the founder and president of Workforce Development Group, and she's also the author of this really fun book, Turning Rants into Raves, Turn Your Customers On Before They Turn on You. So it's a pleasure to have back on the show Randy Bussey. How are you today?
I am wonderful, Tim. It's always a pleasure to chat with you about a topic that we're both rather passionate about.
I know I don't match your passion on the topic, but as a business owner, as an outside observer, it's something I'm very, very passionate about. And I've got some real life examples we'll get into in a little bit, as I'm sure you do. But yeah, thanks for sharing some time today.
Yeah, well, you know, you're also a customer, just like everybody else that's listening to your show.
Right.
And so as a customer, you know, which is really personal, we have our things that we like and our things that we don't like. And, you know, COVID has exacerbated a lot of those touch points, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether you're just a customer or you're a business owner or anyone in between, this topic is really important.
Well said. Well said. So getting it from the business owner and the customer perspective, of which we all are. I'd be interested to know, as a business owner yourself, obviously, how have the conversations with your clients changed since March of 2020? What are they, you know, they're coming to you and they're saying, my goodness, I mean, this is, you know, major hurdles, major obstacles. What are some of those really tough conversations that you've been having, or changes in conversations that you've been having with your clients?
Well, interestingly, I'm not having as many conversations as I thought I would be.
And really?
That's a little scary, because it is a new dawn and it is a new experience that you're going through. And I think that some of my clients have kind of buried their head in the sand and they're ignoring the fact that COVID is going on and things have changed. And I think some of them are hiding behind COVID as an excuse to not up their game as far as the customer experience is concerned.
Even though we're almost a year into it.
Yeah, even though. And that's concerning from a customer standpoint, right?
Sure. Like,
am I not important enough that you need to reimagine the experiences that you're providing to me now that things are not the same. They're not the same, and they may never be the same.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I had a client who literally hired me about a month before the pandemic broke. And we started, we had one session together, and the individual went dark. And again, this is a successful individual, been in the industry for 25 years. He was looking to up his game. He hired me, reached out, started a relationship. And I can't even begin to tell you how many times I reached out. And it had, see, I think that's an example of just how tremendous the impact has been on people on the emotional side, mm-hmm. you know, doing business from home, you know, whether you have kids under feet or whatever it is. See, I can relate to that. And it's still, you think, you know, here we are almost a year later, you think people would have adapted by now. Some have, but also quite a few, as you're saying, haven't, right?
Yeah, and those that haven't may not be around for very much longer if they don't get with the program and, you know, take a look and up their game. I mean, how many businesses in your neighborhood have closed as a result of COVID? You know, one restaurant in particular that I'll give a shout out to is Park Avenue Grill in Amityville on Long Island in New York.
Right.
And, you know, they had to totally revamp their business in order to survive. And so, you know, it started with making family meals that people were able to pick up because, you know, they weren't cooking or, you know, they weren't going out to the restaurant as much, to them totally doing a renovation on the back of their restaurant and creating this amazing outdoor space that allows for social distancing, that has canopies overhead to protect from rain, to starting to deliver food. Like, they've had to morph into so many different iterations of their original walk-in restaurant in order to, you know, stay competitive and really stay alive. And, you know, kudos to them. I didn't mention anything about the food, Tim. The food is amazing.
On top of that, right, yeah.
On top of that, and, you know, Erin, who's, you know, one of the owners with her husband, really cares about her customers in such a way that is evident in all of the new initiatives that she comes out with.
Listen, I am very glad you brought that up. So mention the restaurant again, their name, who are the owners?
Park Avenue Grill. They're in Amityville on Park Avenue near the gazebo.
Okay.
One of the owners is Erin, and I'm forgetting her husband's name. It might be Steve, but I'm not sure. You know, local family, a staple in the community, and really just pivoting for their own survival. This is their livelihood. This restaurant.
Absolutely. See, I mean, in my business, you know, you and I are both consultants on a different, you know, subject matter, but I've been very fortunate to do my business on Zoom and phone. I just got lucky, you know, in that sense, you know, based on the impact of the pandemic. But I have often thought throughout this ordeal, a year into it, man, what if I did own a restaurant? And as you're just sharing the story of one of your favorites with is Park Avenue Grill, right?
It is.
And what they had to go through. And I mean, listen, I made some adjustments. I know you made some adjustments reaching out to our my clients, you know, virtually and all that. But it pales in comparison to what a local hardware store, a restaurant would have, particularly restaurants, because the whole dining thing here in New York, et cetera, different states, I know it's different all over the country. But those are just amazing stories of pivoting, not once, not twice, but sometimes three times to stay afloat.
Absolutely. And, you know, not everybody is as fortunate or as smart or as flexible as they were to be able to kind of reinvent themselves and still be relevant in this time.
Well, sure. I mean, because think about it. If a restaurant has to close, and I don't know the restaurant business, but just logically, if you have to shut down and you let your cook go, or your best wait staff, your manager, you might not be able to get them back, number one, because they have to, you know, they have families to feed. And then, you know, you shut down, you don't have inventory just to restart things again. Mm-hmm. You know, the fresh inventory, the staff. Oh, gosh, yeah. Tremendous.
I have a close friend who owns a coffee shop in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's had to close on numerous occasions due to just a whole bunch of things, including, you know, employees being exposed and then worrying about supplies. And, you know, she's got a younger workforce working for her. And, you know, they may not necessarily take as much pride in their job as, you know, somebody else who's more engaged and committed.
Right.
And so there are a lot of challenges. You know, there's something to be said for being your own boss and not having any employees you know, like us.
There are advantages, advantages and disadvantages. Now, let me ask you, so you start off the show, and again, today's guest, Randy Bussey, one of my absolute favorites on the topic of customer service, author of a great book, Turning Rants into Raves. Give us a cover of that book.
Oh, okay. Only because you asked.
Okay. Yeah. Turning Rants into Raves. Love it. Yeah. Thank you, Randy. Yeah. As a customer, I know that I've been pretty cautious. Me. Everybody's different. Different states are different. New York versus Florida, so on and so forth. And I try to be pretty cautious with the whole mask wearing thing and the social distancing. But I've known, you know, as I've gone through this, like even for me going into stores, especially in the beginning, right? It was like an anxious experience. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what you're walking into, you know, and it was so funny. There is a Brinkman, which is the hardware store, right? And just as it just broke, I walked in. We weren't wearing masks yet. I'm talking like week one or two. And I'm walking in, I forget what I needed. And I'm turning a corner into an aisle, and another guy is walking into me at the same time. And we like walk right into another. Oh. And we couldn't back up fast enough. It was like the most awkward human exchange. But that's the craziness of it, right? And he darts one way, aren't that the other? I say, I'm sorry, whatever. Yeah. So here's a question. Are what you're seeing and hearing from your clients and your personal experiences, are customers still on edge because of this?
Well, I know I am. And so, you know, I'm very diligent about my mask. I was actually going to wear my mask to this interview today because I don't know what kind of germs are being transmitted, you know, over StreamYard. but how many times do you go into a store and you're greeted by this?
Right.
I don't know what this is. This is not the proper way to wear a mask. And so... Right. You know, I'm constantly readjusting my mask as a customer when I'm going into places that I want to patronize. But when I encounter somebody who's, you know, wearing it kind of hanging around their ear like this, I kind of don't want to be in your place of business and I want to go out. And the thing is, I have a lot of choices as to where I could go, Tim. I don't have to go to your particular store. And right. You have to be mindful as a business owner, not only how you're showing up in your workplace, but how your employees are showing up in the workplace. And, you know, we almost deputize our employees and have them be the mask police, right? Because there's a big sign outside the door that says, you know, please don't come in if you're not wearing a mask. And then right. See people walk in and they're not wearing a mask. And I don't see any employees going over to them and saying anything to them. And so if you can't control the environment, I don't know that I want to come into your environment because I'm COVID cautious.
Well, see, that's just it. It's a hard thing for businesses. They try not to offend. They know that certain people are cautious and they know that other people are not so much. Now, let me ask you, you brought up an interesting scenario. In retail, there's, you know, a lot of younger people, you know, the college kids that are there working, and, you know, they've been asked by their employers to, well, hey, you got to make sure customers have the masks on. You know, we got to do that. How can you help? I can imagine an 18, 19 year old kid, I'll call him a kid, you know, a young adult, being intimidated to go up to, you know, somebody my age, okay, and making that request. Because, you know, we've seen these crazy, crazy freaking videos of people going bananas, you know, with this whole mask arguments. And then I just feel for these employees, these clerks at these stores getting ripped apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does the manager help them through that? What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, you need to educate the employee, right? And you need
sure.
to set them up for success. And give them the verbiage to use with the customer. And so mm-hmm. you can't just throw your employee out on the floor and assume that they're going to know what to do. And
right.
so it's about having conversations with the employees during a weekly or daily huddle that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know how important COVID is. You know, I happen to live in Hilton Head, South Carolina, where the average population is probably, 65 and above. And so there's a lot of older people here, and this is where they live, and we need to be respectful to them and their needs as a customer for safety and security. And if we can't give that to them, there's a lot of other places that they can get it from, not to mention online and not even needing to go into a brick and mortar store anymore. And so I think that as leaders and managers, we need to have conversations with our employees about, who our customers are, why this is so important to them, and help them realize that even though we may not share the same concerns, number one, it's a law and it's mandated. And number two, we have to make our customers feel comfortable. And so it's about role playing with your employees. So, Mike, what would you do if a customer walked in the store and said, and didn't have their mask on? Well, you know what? I don't know about you, Tim, but I've walked into plenty of stores forgetting my mask, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like I'm mask conscious, but sometimes I'm on autopilot. I get out of the car, I run into the store, and I'm like, oh, and I go back to the car and I get my mask.
Right.
And so, I'm in a tourist area. Maybe the people are tourists. Maybe they don't know that there's a mask mandate here. And so it's about having a conversation. I'm not sure you're aware, but we do have a mask mandate here. And so we're requesting that all of our guests wear masks when they come into our business.
Right.
Would you like me to give you a mask? I have an extra mask for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so some stores have the masks available because not everybody has a mask, or it ripped, or it got wet, or what have you.
Right.
So you've got to create the environment that we are promoting. And so it's about having that, hand sanitizer at the door. It's about having some masks. It's about being respectful to our customers, and not only to our customers, Tim, but to our employees, to our shareholders, to protect them at the same time from getting sick. Nobody wants to get this virus.
No doubt. And like you said, that where you're at down in South Carolina, a different population, an older population, they're more at risk. So it's being aware of their needs. So we were talking about the employee. Now let's go back to the customer now. What have been or how has your message changed to your clients as far as, hey, you know what, in this COVID economy, here are some key things that you have to make sure are a part of your customer relationship model.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it starts with listening. It starts with listening, right? Listening has always been important in whatever field you're in, whether it's sales, whether it's customer service,
mm-hmm.
whether it's brick and mortar or not. Listening to the customer, not only what they're saying, but what they're not saying. When it is face-to-face, reading their body language and really paying attention to that. And along with that is empathy, right? If there's one thing that everyone in the world is experiencing right now, it is this unknown, this scary, disease that has afflicted people we know and love, people in our family, coworkers, friends. And so we all have that common bond. Now,
right.
we don't all have the common philosophy of, I'm going to wear a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask, this is a hoax, this isn't a hoax. Mm-hmm. And so we need to err on the side of caution and not assume that our customers are of the same mindset that we are. But for the greater good, this is the way we're conducting ourselves. And, you know, we're concerned about you as our customer. We're concerned about our employees because they're people, they're humans just like you are. And so, you know, you've probably heard me talk about the difference between a B2B and a B2C, right? Sure. Business to business or business to consumer. And I say those models need to be tossed out. And we're in an H to H environment, and that's human to human. And so as a business owner, as an employee, I'm a human being. Mm-hmm. And you as a customer are also a human being. So as human beings who have empathy and concern for, you know, fellow mankind, we're in tough times. And so this is not just me as a customer doing a transaction with you as a business owner or an employee. This is me as a person who's living through a scary time, unprecedented, not in my lifetime have I experienced it. And you also are in that same boat. So you have concerns. You have concerns about your family. You have concerns about the stability of your job, whether your paycheck is going to keep coming in. And so we can share that commonality of, wow, you know, scary times that we're in, and almost be able to bond over something like that to kind of even the playing field.
So again, if you're in business, you're a small business owner, manager, what have you, you know, you've no doubt heard of the relationships, as you just mentioned, Randy, B2B, business to business sales relationships, and B2C, business to consumer. I haven't heard it yet, so I thank you for sharing it here on the Profit Express of H to H, human to human. Because at the end of the day, go ahead. So because what you had just spoken about are some key elements of communication being, I like to call it the common denominator in sales and in service. And, you know, attributes like listening, which everybody throws around listening.
Wait, what did you say?
Attributes like listening.
Oh, listening. I'm sorry.
Oh, you see, yeah. I fell for that one. I thought maybe the connection broke off for a second. Wow, that was bad. Sorry. Okay, so it's listening. It's empathy. And it's I liked how you put that. It says like, let's just blow up the old paradigms, if you will, the old relationships, and continuing to remind everybody, you know, the business owner, the employees, that it's human to human.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because think about employees. They come into work in the morning, you know, their name is Mike. They walk into work in the morning, whatever their business is, even if they're not leaving their home and they're, you know, working remotely. 9 o'clock comes, they take their Mike hat off, mm-hmm. and they put on their ABC company hat instead. And, you know, as business leaders, we want them to do that because I don't want them bringing their own, you know, head trash and family stuff and what have you to the job. However, when we ask them to take off their Mike hat, we're almost putting them in a position that doesn't allow them to tap into their humanness, because I'm so focused on the job and the tasks and the forms and the process and the procedure that I often forget that there's another human being on the other end of the phone or the other end of the counter. And I don't allow my personality or my empathy to come through. And so I say to employees during my training, I say, oh, can everybody take a look at Mike? You notice anything about Mike? Look at the size of Mike's head. Mike's head is so big. And Mike is like, what? What do you mean my head is big? And everybody's like, wow, yeah, I didn't notice how big Mike's head was. And I said, Mike, the fact that your head is that big means that when you come into work in the morning, you don't have to take off your Mike hat. I want you to keep that hat on. And I also want you to put on your ABC company hat, because if you're wearing both of those hats simultaneously, right, that human to human connection that we're trying so hard for, combined with I'm thinking and acting like a business owner, right? I don't have to be the owner of the business to think and act like an owner, but that combination allows me to have a connection with you, allows me to be empathetic, allows me to put myself in your shoes. And so your head is big enough to be wearing two hats. Don't take your personal hat off when you get to work.
That's very interesting. Now, so, because a lot of times what we would say, you'd want them, as you said earlier, you know, you don't necessarily want people bringing in some of their mind stress or some personal problems and issues because it can impact their performance, obviously.
Yes.
So now I want to make sure I understand this because I think it's an important point. Again, you got the small business owner listening. So you're saying because we're now in the H to H world of human to human in customer relations, customer service, that it's more important now to embrace the employees and who they are as humans, their humanness,
their individuality. Because you know, when you hire somebody to come on board your organization, you know, maybe the resume is what sparked your interest in, you know, talking to them or interviewing them. But what's written on the resume is not your empathy, your listening skills, your communication skills. And so you hired somebody for their personality, for their being. And yes, it's great if they have certain industry experience and things like that. But why would you want to kind of squash who they are as a person, whether it's they have a sense of humor, whether it's, you know, they've been through certain situations themselves? Why would you want to tell them to leave it at the door and not bring their whole self to work?
That's a great point. See, that's why I have you on. You're sharing these nuggets. It's like one after the next. Randy Bussey, Workforce Development Group.
What can I say? I mean, listen, you know, a part of it is selfish, Tim, because I want to have better experiences when I am a customer. And so if I go out and I, you know, talk about this ad nauseum, people are going to think differently, which is going to translate into different behavior, which is going to translate into better experiences for their customers, of which I may be one.
And I want to talk about these experiences that you want to enjoy as the customer. We'll get to that in just a sec. Today's episode of The Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. And today we have Randy Bussey, the founder and president of Workforce Development Group. And as you often know in my shows, I like to throw out a question. I want to get you thinking. I want you engaged. And my question for the small business owner out there who's tuning in, listening, watching, is you understand, at least you certainly should, the critical importance of your relationship with your customers. But have you, or when was the last time you really examined your customer service model, especially in a COVID economy? Mm-hmm. And the conversation is certainly a timely one. It's one that I want to have Randy on, who's one of my personal favorites on the topic of customer service. And she's also author of the fun book, Turning Rants into Raves. Now, Randy, so we talk about our own personal issues regarding customer service. And so you've been on the show before. And although it was hard to get you on, I mean, you know how many calls I had to make? You know, it was finally I got through, but it was, I had to pull lots of strings. But thank you again for being on today.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I'm here is because of the blue shirt.
you like the blue shirt.
I am loving that blue shirt, and I might want to get myself one because I know I could.
I could connect you. So, which great segue. It leads into, all right. So I had two customer service experiences very recently. So one happened yesterday where my phone, I dropped it. All of a sudden, it would not take a charge. It died. I did all the things online. I researched it. It died. And, you know, every business owner out there knows that if you don't have your cell phone, I mean, it's not a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. So I go to Verizon yesterday and I've had Verizon, the service is fine. And I go to buy the phone and I'm on the clock, right? I get there early in the morning. I got a 1 o'clock and I got a 4 o'clock on the schedule yesterday. So I had a funny feeling it wouldn't be fixed, right? Because, you know, it's just, I don't have the time to go and da-da-da-da-da. So I knew I was going to end up buying a phone. I resigned myself to that fact. So the sales rep, and they're sales, it's commission, and I understand the world of sales and commission. I appreciate it and respect it. That's how this guy eats. So he goes through the whole routine. I chose, this is the mini because I don't like a big phone. It's the 12 mini, I believe. I said, all right, great. Let's do this. Let's wrap it up because I know you got to transfer the phones and all that stuff. So I'm sitting there. I got my mask on. And I got my winter jacket on. I didn't even think to take it off. I got my glasses on, so I'm like half fogging my glasses. And this guy is pitching me everything. Everything. It wouldn't stop. And I made a joke. I'm like, man, I said, they're really pushing you hard. I said, you got your quota going on? You know, just back and forth. I said, you know, how many questions do you have to ask me? He's like, yeah, I know it's a lot. And so he kind of pokes at the experience, right? But he keeps asking me, even if I drop some subtle hints, I was held, and this is why I'm sharing it. I felt like I was held captive. Mm-hmm. I had to get the phone.
Yeah.
I wasn't walking out without the phone. He knew that.
Yeah.
I think he even pitched me a credit card at one point. Honestly, I even forget. It was something, and oh, look at that. If you get a third accessory, right? And that goes back to your point, Randy, of listening.
What?
Exactly. Right. He wasn't.
He was not paying attention because he had a script, he had a quota, and he was going there whether you were coming along or not, or he's taking you kicking and screaming.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And so does that make a good salesperson? Did he meet his quota? Or did he turn off a customer because they were insensitive to your obviously, let's get the show on the road kind of thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and that's the tricky thing about, you know, the technologies in the phones. It's hard to just jump and go to different carriers. At least for me, I hate doing that.
Sure.
So I was held captive. I hated the feeling of it. I just, you know what? I'm going to do it and that's it. But he didn't even back off a little bit. And I feel the guy was doing his job, but that's the problem. That's how they defined his job there.
Yeah, well, because they're very big on quotas and metrics and objectives. And what they're not measuring is the customer experience and being able to read you to know what it is that you wanted. And, you know, you're a subtle guy.
That's very funny. Thank you. Subtle like my shirt here today. I gave him several very plain cues and clues. He didn't, but I'm sure he heard them. I think he was ignoring them because, again, quota, metrics, you know, Verizon's a gigantic corporation. So that, go ahead.
But, you know, it's almost like, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you know, like you need to right size. That's probably wasn't a good example, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. But like, you got to find what's right for the customer
right at
that very moment. And so, you know, if he would have said, you know, it seems like you're in a rush and I can appreciate that, you know, we're all running around. What I'd like to do is, you know, let's schedule some time for you to come back in when you have some more time so that I can share this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
But the fact that he didn't acknowledge what you were kind of dropping, you know, bombs about, it makes me feel like you're not important.
Right.
Which
that's exactly it. And I was just frustrated. You know, I called my wife on the way home. She unfortunately has to hear my rants, you know, on customer service. So then, okay. So now another quick story. I think you got a great one to share. So my shirt, right? I got the, thank you. So I'm getting my new podcast shirts because I'm on StreamYard. We got the video element, which is a fantastic new element of the Profit Express. I'm like, I got to have some fun shirts, right? I got some fun shirts. And so I got a bunch of these. I wore this one for you. I know you're a fan of blue. And So here's an amazing example of a small business owner. It's Christopher Allen Custom Clothiers. Mm-hmm. Worked with him for years, custom shirts, suits. I'm not wearing suits like I used to, you know, but I wanted something specific, a fun shirt for the podcast. And I can't tell you, so it's Teresa Cardisano. She's in business with her husband. And see, they're a great example of a small business that, you know, listen, they got impacted like everybody else. You know, when the virus just hit, did people need a custom suit right away? Probably not. I mean, they have great clothes. It's for some people, it's a luxury. It's a great convenience, et cetera. And I just kind of followed how they do business. Again, I've known them for a number of years. And they, throughout the pandemic, they just did a really good job of being human, mm-hmm. of trying to help people, of sharing some fun content on fashion. And the level of service, like, you know, because I am cautious about COVID. And so Teresa, you know, they'll come to your house, they'll come to your office, all those things, right? And I've known her for years. And I said, Teresa, don't be offended by this. I said, can I meet you in a parking lot somewhere? It sounds a little sketchy, by the way. I said, because she had a shipment of shirts for me. I said, I'll meet you in a parking lot at the mall, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Right. Nope, didn't bat an eye. She was ready to go. It just, but that to me is just like the polar opposites. And she's doing, and Christopher Allen Custom Clothiers is doing what you're saying.
Well, would it surprise you to know that I consulted with Christopher many, many years ago?
No, not at all.
About this very topic. And so I know.
I did not know that. And I've known them for many. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting because he approached me at some point, I think after speaking with me and like, you know, hey, I need to get this customer service thing right. And so I'm thrilled to hear that, you know, he's thriving and continues to personalize the experience. I mean, when you think about it, he's personalizing and customizing your clothes.
Right.
Which are so intimate.
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't you carry that through and be accommodating and a chameleon and, you know, be able to, you know, pivot on a dime? And, you know, one of the things that I was going to suggest to you in terms of, you know, how you should be approaching customers, it shouldn't be approaching them to sell them something. You know, and I mean, maybe at this point, a year in, the words, the advice might be a little bit different, but in the beginning of the pandemic, you know, you can't be pitching your wares. You need to be, hey, I'm checking in on you and how are things going? And is there anything that I could do to help you with my connections that I have? And so, you know, as the year has progressed and this isn't going away, we can't veer off of that path because, right. You know, they're not just a custom clothier, right? They're a trusted advisor to you. And, you know, their sphere of clients and connections could be a resource to other clients and connections. And so the smart business people are the ones that are going to, you know, kind of look outward and not inward and not be so me focused and my business. Just going back to Park Avenue Grill, they were providing, you know, free food to hospitals on a regular basis. You know, in the beginning of the pandemic, I'm sure they're probably still giving, but because they're her client base and right. Here people that are putting their lives on the line every day for us in the medical field, but so are the grocery workers. And so, so are the restaurant workers. So are so many people. What about the school teachers? What about the school teachers that are exposing themselves every day, you know, for our kids, for our family, for the community? And so we need to be outward thinking, you know, the community right. at large, how we can, you know, potentially help them.
So, you know, it's funny. So you shared your personal story with Park Avenue Grill in Amityville here in Long Island. I shared it with Christopher Allen Custom Clothiers. And they just, they did a great job of communicating, because I followed them throughout the pandemic on social. You know, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And just the message, you know, it's not like they were banging people over the head with sales and all that, but it was just good messages. It was fun messages. They were empathetic. They shared great tips. So, because this is the thing, whether it's custom clothiers, whether it's the restaurant, they're not the Amazons and the Walmarts of the world who actually have hugely benefited from this. Mm-hmm. Hugely benefited.
Sure.
And they're having to pivot, and they have, and they've done it. So to even just highlight a few of them, I mean, we could have a show just highlighting just the names of all these amazing local small businesses. So has there been, and again, today's guest, Randy Bussey, the owner and president of Workforce Development Group. And what's that book you wrote? You wrote a book.
I wrote a book.
You got a cover. It's Rants, It's Raves.
Turning rants into raves. Turn your customers on before they turn on you. Yeah, that's the book.
Love it. Now, so let me ask you this then. What has been an example of, I don't know if it's local or a big name people would know, of a company that's not getting it?
That's not getting it.
That's not getting the customer service experience. Do you have you come across an article? Have you seen a post? Because I know you have a great eye and ear, because I follow you on social and you've shared some great stories of some like ouch, cringeworthy experiences. Anything recently you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, there's a Facebook group that I follow. I'm not going to say what the name of it is, but
right.
It's about companies that are following COVID protocols.
Okay.
And I can't tell you how many stories are there about companies that are not following COVID and, you know, don't wear that mask in here, you know, kind of thing. And how companies have been trashed on social media because of their anti-COVID precautions that they're willing to take. So, you know, social media has been a game changer ever since its inception. You know, it's taken a customer's voice. What used to be, I tell two friends who tell two friends. Now I have a megaphone and, you know, I tell the world in, you know, just a couple of clicks on my keyboard about an experience that I had. And so I also think, Tim, that a lot of companies are hiding behind COVID in terms of, you know, due to COVID, our wait times are longer than usual. And I say, well, what about before COVID when your wait times were longer than And so I think that if it's in terms of manning phones and having, you know, people to answer the phone or registers open in a store, I think that businesses expect customers to be more understanding and tolerant during these times because, you know, it is COVID after all. But at the same time, I think that companies are using that as an excuse to not up their game. And, you know, we've become an instant gratification nation, right?
Oh.
I heard somebody talking the other day. They said that in the maybe not the beginning of the pandemic, but early enough on, they were waiting for a package from Amazon. And, you know, it didn't come in 2 days. And she was like, what do you mean a week? Like, this is ridiculous. And so we've had to change our expectations. I will share with you one.
How can I wait for toilet paper for a week? I don't understand. That's, you know.
You can't get that anywhere. Are you kidding me? One place that I do think has kind of gotten it is the public library. I'm a big library user.
Really?
And yes, very much so. I rarely buy books unless, of course, it's this
one.
But when I want a book, I go to the library. And
right.
The library has implemented contactless pickup and delivery of your books.
Right.
And so they have a special phone number that they created at the library. And you call them when you get outside and you say, hi, this is Randy Bussey. Here's my library card number. And they come out to your car. They have you pop your trunk open and they put the books in your trunk and then they close the trunk and you get to leave. Now, I think that's a fabulous service that only was born because of the pandemic. But think about moms with kids and how hard it is sometimes to, you know, get all the kids out of the car, out of the car seat, bundle them up, put them in a stroller. I mean, this is like a perk that should never go away. And, you know, larger organizations like a Walmart, like a Target, like Sam's Club. I went to Sam's Club yesterday. I placed an order online and, you know, I texted them when I got there. And 5 minutes later, you know, the guy was putting my creamy almond butter in the trunk of my car. And so we are now going to have higher expectations about our experiences. We want them to be contactless. We want them to be quick. You know, the guy was very friendly when, you know, he was talking to me. He's like, I hate to ask you this, but I need to check your driver's license. Because we've had some people, you know.
Wait. He checked your driver's license for creamy almond butter?
Well, I did buy 6 jars of it. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. He did. Well, because customers are just showing up in a spot. Oh, I'm in spot number one, and they're bringing orders out, and it's not their order. So, unfortunately, there are some unscrupulous customers who are trying to take advantage of COVID and other things. But, you know, I for one, was never an online shopper. And let me tell you, every night, my MO is get on Facebook. I have some deals of the day group that I belong to. And last night I bought a basting brush because I've been doing a lot of cooking since I'm home and the bristles are falling out of my brush. So I bought a silicone one. So you're welcome, Amazon, $8 last night.
You know, it's funny. I was like you too. I was an in-store kind of guy. Even my bank, I enjoyed going. He's on the road a lot. I enjoyed going and look, I developed relationships with my branch manager, which, you know, as a business owner is a smart thing to do. But I too, like, I think just about every human being in America and the planet, well, certainly America, you know, has taken advantage of Amazon, you know, for all the reasons. And now, see, you brought up a very good point. I didn't think about it where because of the curbside pickup, you know, we're not going to want to go away from that. It's too darn good.
Yeah.
Wait, I popped the trunk. Hey, thanks. Here's my license. I'm out of here, right?
Yeah.
That's not going away. So that's an interesting way to look at it. I really didn't consider that. So now let me ask you this, because it's the Profit Express. We're big proponents and big fans for the small businesses of the world, for the Park Avenue Cafe, right? Grill. Did I get that right?
Grill.
I'm sorry. Park Avenue Grill. Sorry. So from your perspective, I think if you took a survey of most Americans, okay, we're going to admit that, yeah, we take advantage of Amazon and its convenience. Okay. But nobody really wants Main Street to go away. And there's lots of boarded up streets. There's lots of for rent signs in these storefronts. Mm-hmm. 'Cause listen, there is a certain joy going out and going to a brick and mortar local.
Sure.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. So here's my question for you. The average American wants to support Main Street. Sometimes they think, you know, the Amazons are the bullies of the world, whatever. But how can a business owner, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a florist, et cetera, take advantage of what's going on now? Maybe separate themselves from the Walmart, from the Amazon. Because, I mean, this is a growing experience for everybody in a lot of different ways. So how can they take advantage of it to, you know, to grow, to sustain their business?
Yeah. Well, you know, it goes to don't stop what is working, right? That curbside delivery. Don't be like, oh, the pandemic's over. We're not going to do this anymore. Well, you know, you kind of groomed us for this. And you can't take it away from us now because right. it's really well for us. So I think you need to continue doing what you're doing. And I want to just go back to, you know, what you said a minute ago about your customers want you to succeed. They yeah. want you because, listen, they vetted you out. They've tried your product or your service. They know you're good. You're reliable. You're dependable. You have a good product. You provide a good experience. And so they're rooting for you. And so, you know, going back to Park Avenue Grill, I can't tell you how many people on Facebook, on their group, on their page have said, you know, how can we support you? And, you know, and so she said, you know, buy gift certificates because maybe you're not dining out now, but you're going to in the future. And so we want businesses that take good care of us to succeed. And so it almost becomes a partnership. And, you know, when you said, you know, how could small businesses take advantage of, I don't want them to take advantage of, right? I want them to work together to continue to be able to provide the product or service that they do in a manner that takes into consideration the needs of the customer and not just the needs of their business or what's easier for them. That takes me to the P word, right? It's our policy. Did you get wet when I said that?
Because A little schmutz. Yeah. Thank you.
Because when people quote policy, you know, it's our policy. It's like they want to like jam it into you. And so policies are designed to protect businesses, not customers. So I think business owners and employees need to be flexible. They need to be understanding and they need to walk in their customers' shoes. If I was the customer, what would I want? What would make me feel good? And it's not always give it to me for free, right? I was moderating a room in Clubhouse earlier this morning, and you know somebody was talking about you know empowering your employees. Well, your employees are not going to give away the store. They're not going to give free products and services for life. And that's not what your customers want when there's a problem. What they want is to be validated, and they want empathy, and they want to feel like they were heard. Right. Don't give me the credit. Get it right in the first place, and then you can keep all the profits on the Profit Express.
Look, it's like a mic drop with you. I mean, come on, there you go. No, but I love that. I could talk customer service with you for hours. So you said something that was very interesting. Again, you know, as the business owner, we're focusing on the value of the relationship with the client, how important that is, how we have to cherish that. But then you also said our customers who are fans, who we have a relationship with, let's face it, they want us to succeed. They're fans of ours too. And I never really necessarily thought of it that way. But yeah, it's, you know, don't get caught up in the policy. Just, you know, get caught up in the humanness of it. Learn from it. And, you know, what we've done to improve ourselves, you know, don't forget about that when we're all past this.
Well, for sure. And the good news is that when you have loyal customers, they're willing to endure more than they might if it was a new relationship they had with a business, but don't take advantage of that either.
Right.
And, you know, for you, you know, where are you going to get shirts like the one you're wearing if not from, you know, Christopher Allen.
Yes.
Right. You don't want to have to go look. They know your size. They know everything. They know where you live. I mean, they know your inseam on your pants, for God's sake. You
know? It doesn't get any more personal than that. I mean, come on. As always, this has been a great conversation. It's the timing was great. It's great to have you back. People want to follow you, learn more about you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, just come visit me in Hilton Head. No, I'm only kidding. visit my website, workdivgroup.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Randy Bussey. Always happy to be a resource to any of the Profit Express fans.
Awesome. And that's Bussey, B-U-S-S-E.
It is, yes.
Excellent. Again, I thank you. Thanks for your time today, and thanks for dropping some killer customer service gems on the Profit Express.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. Always great to chat with you, Tim.
You got it. Thanks, Randy.